John chapter 9 and verse 1. Excuse me. The Bible says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you tonight. God, I'd ask you, Holy Ghost of God, to take control of these lips of clay, this tongue of clay, and this mind of clay. And Father, help me to think and then be able to speak what you'd have me to say. Holy Ghost of God, I'd ask that you tabernacle with us for just a bit. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me, dear Jesus, to say what you would say, as I'm trying to fill your shoes, and I cannot do it without your help. Father, help me to be able to present an entire world of souls that are lost and on their way to hell. God, please, bless your servant tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. A little bit ago, I was looking at some pictures, and I wasn't playing on my telephone because I was bored with the service. I was preparing my heart for what I wanted to say. There are many ways to prepare your heart. John chapter 9. When Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind from his birth. Verse 2 says this, "And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, there's got to be a reason for this blindness. And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." But notice what he says. "But that the works of God may be made manifest in him." God said, "I'm going to use him to be a sermon illustration to the world. I'm going to use him as a sermon illustration." And then verse 4 is the key verse where I want to take my thought this evening. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The night cometh when no man can work. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is one of the mission verses that I use to talk about our ministry of here and there. And I use my hat as an acrostic, right? So I said alliteration this morning. Can I have my hat? It's a cool-looking hat. And I normally set my hat up on the pulpit and say, "Nice hat, huh?" I was driving down the road one day, preaching, getting ready to go preach a missions conference, and Acts chapter 1 makes this statement, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And I looked over at my hat, and I have preached all my life about missions. I have preached all of my life about missions, home and abroad. Because God says, "You're going to be a witness unto me." And then he says, "Both in." Now, I understand that both means two. But he mentions four places. He says Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But what you and I have to understand, which is what everybody, when he quoted that, understood was this. Everybody understood there were two places he was talking about. Now, you and I look at that and go, "God, you made a mistake. There's four places you mentioned." God said, "No, only mentioned two." He said, "I mentioned home. Because home is Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria that all make up the nation of Israel." He said, "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." And with each one of those places that he mentioned, he wanted you to understand that all of them in that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, all of them are of equal importance. All of them carry equal weight across the board. All of them have utmost importance to Jesus. But he said, and here's what he was saying in essence, I want you to reach home and abroad. Or hat, H-A-T, here and there. That's where I want you to reach. I want you to reach home and I want you to reach here and there. Here and there. As I thought about what God said, I'm going to use this man and his problem. I've created it. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to use it as an illustration. And he makes the most unbelievable statement in John chapter 9, verse 4. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As I thought about what he said, and I've got a sermon specifically about what he said. Can I help you tonight without you thinking you're an idiot? Without you thinking about me, I'm an idiot. You see, in the Bible, there are certain things that are very specific. In the Bible, God makes them very specific, calls things by very specific names. And I've always called myself an evangelist, thinking the Apostle Paul was an evangelist. Jesus was an evangelist because the word missions was never used in the Word of God. It just isn't. The thought's there. The concept's there. But what is the concept? The concept is Acts 1:8, taking the gospel from here to there. God calls you and I that are light carriers, God calls us ambassadors. What's an ambassador do? An ambassador has a country he represents. Can I tell you what country we represent? We represent his country. Hallelujah. And I get to take, I'm his representative. You're his representative as a Christian. And we as ambassadors take the message from our home country that we hear about at headquarters, which is church, and we take it outside these doors to a lost and dying world that goes beyond the state of Ohio. You've got the whole map. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You've got it right there on your wall. Where's the world? It's everywhere. It's here and there. I was in a missions conference about 10, 12 years ago, and an old missionary man walked in. Now, I call myself an evangelist, but I'm a missionary. I'm an ambassador trying to reach the world. This old timer preacher, he walks in, and this is exactly what he did. He was called off the front row, and they said, "Now, Dr. So and So is going to present his work." And he walked up to the pulpit, and he was walking as old and as stiff as I am. And he walked and without a word. He went like he did this. He just walked up and went. Did that for about 10 minutes without a word. Then he said, 3 a second, 180 a minute, 10,800 per hour, 259,200 per day, 1,814,400 per week, 94,608,000 per year. Die, lost and undone, and go to a devil's hell. Many, most, having never heard the name of Jesus or a clear presentation of the gospel? Not even once. Not even one time. And I sat there like you're sitting there thinking, is that possible? How can that be? Not even once. How many times have you heard the name of Jesus? How many times have you heard the name? How many times have you said the name of Jesus? Can I ask you a question? How many Bibles do you have? Take a guess. Show them how many Bibles you have. Preacher, how many Bibles do you have? How many Bibles do you have? Oh, you're new. You know how to mess up an illustration, don't you? Pastor's daughter, how many Bibles you have? How many Bibles you have? A lot? How many you got, brother? I've got about 40 on my table. And in my personal collection, probably another 50 that are mine. And I've read through every one of them. Well, two of them I haven't. I don't know anybody touching them. You say, why? Because I'm saving them for whoever's left when I leave. We all have Bibles. We all have thought about the name of Jesus, have said the name of Jesus, have heard the name of Jesus, sometimes in a cuss word. But when you hear the name Jesus, you go, something inside goes, wow, yeah, I know him. I mean, it does for me. I love hearing his name. I love to hear his name preached about. I love to hear his name proclaimed. I love to hear somebody talking about Jesus and just see the tears running down their eyes. I've been to places that when you use the name Jesus, they look at you like, what's that? Do you understand that? And I have given, when I was in Burma for the very first time in 2013 for the 200th anniversary of Adoniram Judson's church plant. I was there and I preached in Adoniram Judson's church, and about 300 people got saved. And three of us preached. And there were about 150 people, about 100 people per time as different people kept floating in. And they let me preach last, and we had about 200 people at an altar, and I dealt with a bunch of them. People were just being saved all, we were there all day. But when you said the name Jesus, they look at you and go, when I first got there, I didn't know how to tell people about Jesus. Because how do you tell? I was dumbfounded. Because how do you tell people about somebody they've never heard of? And you have to start with God. In the book of Genesis. And in the Burmese language, in that part of the country, in Burma, in Thailand, his name is, God's name is Piatakan. And you got to talk about Piatakan becoming a man. The God left heaven to come to earth to become a man. And took on the form of man. And he's no longer God, Piatakan, he's the God-man, Yeshua. And they said, how is that possible? Why would he do that? That's when it gets good. And I've sat around campfires and talked to chiefs and sat around huts with spiders as big as that box crawling around. And I don't like spiders. And I've seen, I was I saw a spider. You don't have a bigger. I saw a spider bigger than my fist crawl in a lady's house. Day number one, I was there standing in the weeds, witnessing to a family. And I'm thinking, God ain't in this. That lady, that caterpillar, I'm not caterpillar, that tarantula spider, gigantic gray thing with black hairy legs. He crawled up in the lady's house, and I'm going, she went. I'm thinking, if you were in America, you'd be running and screaming and shooting and crying and trying to get in your car to get away. And I got to talk to her about Jesus, her and her husband, as they sat on 2 sheets of 4x8 plywood on stilts about this high with an open, with bamboo hut. This was their house. 2 4x8 sheets of plywood. That was all their living. That was their bedroom. That was their entertainment room. That was their family room and dining room and bedroom. Say, preacher, where was the bathroom? Everywhere else off of that 4x8 sheet of plywood out back. No running water. No electric switch for a light. And when I told her about Jesus, she looked at me and went, and I looked at the interpreter, and he said, brother, you got to start way before Jesus. And I started with God. And I'll be honest with you. I was so upset that I couldn't just win her to the Lord quickly. It took me about 30 minutes to just explain some things to her because she had questions. She said, I've never heard anything. Brother Choma, when I got done explaining, you could see the light come on. And she asked the interpreter, this was Stephen. She asked Pastor Stephen, can I ask Jesus to save me? And I went, yeah, you can. Stephen's crying. I'm crying. Stephen's saying, why are you crying? I said, same reason you're crying. He goes, I'm crying because you're crying. I said, I'm crying because I've never seen anything like this before. And I led her and her husband to the Lord. And that was my first convert in Burma, as I'm standing in the weeds, scared to death. Because there are 126 different poisonous snakes in Burma. And I'm way scarier of snakes than I am spiders. 2 days later, 3 days later, I'm to preach in a pastor's conference. Pastor says he's got a lot of Bibles. That preacher said he's got a lot of Bibles. You've got one, and you ain't even a preacher. I preached to preachers that didn't even have a Bible. 250 preachers showed up for our preacher's conference. We had seating for 300, and 600 people showed up. Burmese are tiny. They can sit in all kinds of places. You got 6 seats there, I could put 15 Burmese in them pews. As a matter of fact, they would move them and sit. I had them we had them this close. It's on my table. There are about 60 preachers standing behind me, and there's another 150 in the pews that I was preaching to in a little YMCA building that we rented. And we had boxes, and we had brought them. God had provided. We had raised about $6,000, and we had Burmese Bibles in their language. We had 1,000 of them. You got to smuggle them into the country. It's still a closed country. We smuggled them in. I didn't. They did. All of a sudden, all these Bibles show up at the thing. And I took pictures, and I was taking pictures. Well, that morning we started opening and said, and the Burmese pastors got up and said, we want to give you a Bible. And I watch Burmese pastors. I watch Burmese pastors of churches get a Bible for the very first time. Not like you going to the store and buying one. I'm talking about getting one and grabbing it, falling to their face on the floor in tears, and lifting it up in praise of the Lord. Their own copy. Their own copy. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Never. I'm telling you, dude, I got 30, 40, 50 of them on my shelf. I got a suitcase full of them. I got another case full of them to replace them I got on my table. And I'm thinking, they don't even have them. Pastors of churches have, they only have John and Romans. They have copies of handwritten copies that they wrote from the one copy of the Bible they had in their village, maybe. Or two or three villages away, they had to go get their own copy. And I can remember giving Burmese people, Burmese pastors, a copy of the Bible for the very first time, and I went, well, that just don't seem right. As I've done some homework, there are thousands of people groups. There are 17 states in Burma, many of which have never. Burma, Thailand, China, all around there. 12 countries either touch or surround Burma. Burma is the strictest form of Buddhism in the world. And we're trying to reach Burma and all of Asia for Christ. And I tell my people, my ministry is here. I've been starting churches in America. Because if we lose America, we lose. The whole world loses. So I start churches in America and help churches in America. And yes, as an evangelist and a missionary evangelist, a missionary church planting evangelist, I go around the country and I preach and I help small churches. And I help small churches have revivals and missions conferences that can't afford to pay us. And I go and I've started churches. We've been a part of starting about 48, 50 churches here in the States, in a couple in Canada, a couple in Mexico, and the rest of them, most of about 45 of them in America. And we're not perfect. A couple of them have closed. I mean, not all of them have went according to schedule, but we're trying to do our best. In 2012, God said, I want you to do something. 2012, I was preaching a missions conference in Virginia. 2011, and God spoke to my heart and said, smote my heart. When I got up and I said, there are 6.6 billion people in the world, and 3.1 of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, not even once. 3.1. You understand it's just over 7 billion people in our world today, and 3.2 billion have never, not even one time, heard the name of Jesus or a clear presentation of the gospel. 97% of them are of some sort of Asian descent. 97% have never heard the name of Jesus. I taught my bus kids when we were in Chicago. We used to sing that song. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. Can you imagine never being able to sing that? Never hearing the sweetest name. The Bible says, I've given Him a name which is above every name. Hallelujah. And there are people that have, listen, by the billions, that have never heard. I don't have all the I'm not sure how to do all that I'm supposed to do. But I know we're supposed to. I personally. Some great Christian a while back made the statement, this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on earth. I believe I'm personally responsible for this generation of souls on earth. So I'm trying to do my best. But as I read what Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I'm in and out of my sermon. He made this statement. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Can I say there is only a little time to work? I must. He says, I must. I got something I got to do, and I must do it.
get the job done.
3.2 billion people have never heard. If we reach 100 million people a year and we're not even close, it will take us 32 years to evangelize just those that have never heard. If we reach 10 million a year, a lot of people are going to die and go to hell because it would take 320 years. Can I say this evening, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. My partner says this, I'm part of Golden Land Baptist Missions. Pillar Baptist Ministries is the home mission. Golden Land Baptist Missions is the foreign mission. If you get one of my prayer cards, on the front of it, it'll say Pillar Baptist Ministry. I have a picture of my wife and I, and then underneath of our name, it'll say here. And on the back of it, you'll have a picture of my buddy and I, Brother Dr. Bob DeWitt and I, and on the back of that, and it'll say, and there. It'll be a picture of Asia and a Buddhist temple that we went to. That Adoniram Judson made the statement. He said, Sweetagon Temple, I was never out, no matter how far I got away, I was never out of eye shot of Sweetagon Temple. It's probably 6 to 8 city blocks. Pure gold, all the top. It's not just yellow paint, it's pure gold. 10,000 temples in this temple. The largest in all of Burma. The whole country is Buddhist or Buddhist Muslim. And the strictest form of it. My partner, the first year he went in 2008 when it was still a country in civil war. Over 50 years, the longest running civil war in the world was in Burma. Millions of them were killed. Because it was the longest running civil war, our churches have a lot. We don't have a pastor in our church, not one of the pastors that we support. And our ministry raises money to help the Burmese pastors because every one of them have orphanages. We're responsible to feed somewhere around 1,000 orphans every day. They don't have any moms, don't have any dads, don't have any grandparents. We found most of them in the jungle starving to death or dying or sitting in a mud puddle on the street. Crying. I'm talking about 3 and 2 and 3 and 4 year olds. We're the only hope and the only family they have. They get 2 to 3 meals a day. They eat a lot of rice. They love rice. Not much meat. I went over there and lost 6 or 8 pounds. And was eating 3 and 4 and 5 times a day because all you eat is rice and grass. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a McDonald's. Brother, where's the cheeseburger? And they told me, when you go over, don't expect a lot of meat because there isn't much. Now, we eat a lot of fish. And I don't mind fish. I rather like it. But the first day we showed up, at our orphanage, our main orphanage, our main church. We showed up at the main church, and the orphanage has 250 kids in it. 250 of them. And they all, the little girls and little boys, they all come running up. And I mean, they're from like 16, 18, about 17 years old, all the way down to like 2 and 3. They don't, how old is that little guy? 7. I've got grandbabies from 8, 9 months old to 7 years old. I can't imagine them not knowing who their parents are or where their parents are. And people, they kept looking at me going, why is he always crying? Can't help it. I think of them, and I look at them, and I'm thinking, my grandbabies all know where their parents are. Never be able to call anybody mom or dad. I said, man, you're laying it on pretty thick. I'm telling you just the simple facts of Burma. I'm telling you the simple facts of the countries we're trying to reach. poorest countries in the world. War torn. We have 1,000 orphans, and if we had more money, we could have 10,000 orphans in our orphanages. Every pastor there that's part of our ministry has an orphanage. Not because we started it. They started it before they ever knew who we were. Because it's their people. And we got a call from a pastor named Ten Wen-E. He's back on in one of my papers. Pastor Ten Wen-E called, and he said, if you want to see Burma, come pass a visit. And that's when my partner went. My partner went to go see it because he felt like God was calling him. In 2008, his orphans, 60 orphans, he's got a wife, two children, and 60 orphans. And he said they're getting one tablespoon of rice every other day. Did you hear me? Every other day. And I went, how can they live? He said, they're not living. He said, they die about one a month. We could use your help. Now, can I say, his orphans have learned to speak English. They're one of my favorite groups to hear them sing. I got them on my phone. I never thought to give it to you, see if we could figure out how to hook it up. They sing in English, they sing in Burmese, and don't make you cry, don't matter what language you're singing in. Most expressive people, their eyes are just, they're expressive. They love God. They got nothing. 10 years before all this took place in my heart, God allowed me to go into Mexico, deep into Mexico, into the Aztec Indian villages in the mountains with Humberto Gomez. And that's when God started dealing with my heart back in the 1990s. God started dealing with me about missions. Never knowing in the world that I'd ever be wanting to even think about going to a foreign field. And I like America. I mean, I always thought, hang around the world. They're on their own. And God said, you're all my children. I want you to do something about it. So for the last 5 years, I've been trying to do something. Jesus made the statement, I must work the works of him that sent me. Can I tell you something? When God called me to preach, God said, I want you to go do my work. But in 2011-12, when God started dealing with my heart in that missions conference, on a Tuesday night, I preached and I made the statement, there are 7 billion people and 3.2 billion have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And God stuck me in the heart and said, I want you to go do something about it personally. I want you to do. And I went to an altar. I was telling the preachers, I went to an altar, and I was down there weeping and crying because I'm thinking God's calling me to the foreign field. And I'm not crying because I'm scared to go. I'm crying because I don't know where or what he wants. And I get there, and I get up after that, and the pastor looks at me, and he's looking at me, and I'm crying. I got snot and tears running down my face. And I'm the keynote speaker. I'm the only speaker and the only missionary at the missions conference. And he said, are you going to be okay? And I said, I don't know. Take me back to my room. I went back to my room and I cried myself to sleep after I talked to my wife. I didn't know what to do. And I said, God, if you'll show me. I went the next night and people are sitting in the pews like, is he going to be okay? And I preached the next couple of nights and I explained to him what was going on. All I know is this. 2012, God did something in my heart that I can't explain. He put the rest of the world in my heart and said, I want you to do something about it. And I started seeing them not as like them stinking goops and them stinking this or them stinking this. I started seeing them as my people. Some of them are foreigners now. Now they're my people that I feel responsible for. And I still say all the time, I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody equally. And I say that in jest. But I don't even like saying that much anymore. Because they're all my people. And I'm not prejudiced. I love them all. And I want to win them all. But I got a special burden for the Asian people that don't have anybody. You understand, it hasn't been a good gospel presentation until Hiles Anderson a couple of years ago. 100 years before that. It took a... how many people die in 100 years? You lose two generations like that in 100 years. Billions of people have died and went to hell. Never heard the gospel. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Then he says this, while it's day. While it's day. Can I say, not only do we only have a little time to work, but we only have a little time to warn them. While it's daytime. The Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter 33. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. I believe just like God made the Old Testament prophets watchmen on his wall, I believe you and I, as his chosen, as the bride of Christ, you and I as the saved, you and I that know him, he's made us his watchmen. And we're to hear the word at his mouth and to warn a lost world for him in his name. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm the work of him that sent me while it's day. And then he said this, the night. I don't mind night in America. I can flick on the light. It can get as dark as it wants to outside. We've got the lights. But you know, on a farm field, when you get outside the borders of the greatest country on the face of the earth, you get to places ain't got no light switch. And when it gets dark outside, it gets dark inside too. And I've been to places when the lights go out, and you're just sitting there with candles. First time I was in Mexico, I'm sitting there preaching a message on the, remember that? On the top of the mountain. There were 3 candles in the whole building, because that's all they could afford. 1 candle on this side, it was a little building. 1 candle over here, and they put 1 candle up here because they knew the old man couldn't see his Bible. And that was before the days of cell phones. So I didn't have a cell phone, didn't have a flashlight, because nobody told me, hey, bring a flashlight. And I'm sitting there trying to see my Bible with that little light. The Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while I was there, the night cometh. Night is that. It is that time of ending, that time of total blackness, that time of it's over and done with, there is no more. The night comes when no man can work. Can I say, night does come and will fall for a lost and dying world. Do you understand the average, I was telling them, the average age for the For a Burmese man, the average life expectancy is 55 years. 50 to 55. How old are you? I'm 58. Be 59 in 2 months. We'd already be dead, more than likely. Women, I don't know what it is, but men, it's between 50 and 55. It's not much higher for ladies. Can you imagine? How old are you, brother? You'd be an ancient man on your way home. My partner makes this statement. He says, my people live and suffer and a horrendous life and die lost and go to a devil's hell. I don't mind living and suffering a little. But I thank God in a little suffering. I'm going to go to heaven someday because I've heard the gospel. But do you understand that? There's blackness over there. Steep, dark, thick demonic blackness where they've never heard the gospel. I'm talking about that in that whole, this whole region. That top section, that whole region right there. I mean, it's just, and there's billions of people that live in that area. And it's black. The Bible says, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. Night cometh. One of these days, night's going to fall on every soul. And if we don't do our part now, I believe we're going to give an account for everything we're supposed to do. I believe Christianity, Christians are going to give an account for every soul they won to Christ, and for every soul they said, just let them die and go to hell. Who cares? I'm not doing anymore. Can I say tonight, we're trying to start 500 churches. We've started about 85 in the last 5 years. But the number's fixing to pick up. We have a gospel tent just been donated to us. And for the first time ever in the history of the Asian world, we're going to have a gospel tent revival in Burma. We've got a 1,000-seat tent in January. We're going to have a 5-day revival. I'm praying for 2,000 people saved. I'm praying for more, but we've got 2,000 people. I've got 10 preachers lined up. 10 preachers is not enough. But I got 10 preachers lined up to start churches as soon as this is over with. He said, preacher, what can we do? You can pray. Pray for God to do something. Pray for God to work. Pray for God. Listen, the Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for laborers. I'm praying. I want to do it all myself, but I know I can't. How many years do I honestly have left? 10? 12? I rode this body hard, put it away wet a lot. Amen. I don't know how much longer I have. I take vitamins and minerals, and I try to eat healthy, except today. Let's go, and you have a cookout, and there's hamburgers and junk. You just eat everything that you ain't supposed to, and I did. Well, there's so much to do. Can I tell you, right now, we have 2 Bible institutes in operation in Burma, training young men. We have a Bible college that we're in the process of building. We've already raised about $40,000. We're about $20,000 shy. We have a 4-story building. It's already up. I can show you a picture on my phone. We have a 4-story building. It's already up. It's all concrete and steel. You can't have wood in Burma. That ain't going to work, because they got bugs over there that eat trees. And so everything's wooden, everything's concrete and steel. It's going to be 4 stories. It's 32 by 48, 4 stories tall. The pastor of the church, Pastor Tong Lien, his prayer card is right next to mine, land right next to mine. Please take one of his and one of mine. He's the pastor that donated the God, his family gave him the land, and he said, I'm going to give it, this land belongs to God, and we're going to have a Bible college on it. He lives in the basement corner of his church and sleeps on a concrete floor with his wife and his 4 children. He's been beaten. He's been jailed. His life is threatened on a daily basis because he's a Baptist preacher in a Buddhist land. We've got one preacher who's a Buddhist monk that they've cut off all of his fingers. Every time he witnesses somebody, they cut off a finger. He walks around, all he's got is nose. And I asked him, when I saw him in the media, I said, what's going to happen now? He says, what can they do to me now? I said, well, I got some ideas. He said, all they can do is send me home. He said, but they can't silence me. We're trying to raise $20,000 for a Bible institute. We got to put a Bible college. It's going to house, it'll house about 50 men. It'll house about 50 women. It'll house the pastor in one corner. It's going to have a prophet's chamber where I'm going to go live for a month at a time. Maybe 2 months, maybe a month at a time. If my wife goes with me, 2 months at a time. And go over there and teach in their Bible college and start churches with them and help them. and then come back to America and start churches in America and strengthen the churches that I've already helped start. We've got to do it here and there. Say, preacher, what else can I do? You can pray. You can help with a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can do. My wife and I are right now trying to raise some money for a display. I've already had it designed. And then they told me, this is what it's going to cost to have it printed. And I went, you've got to be kidding. He said, well, it's pretty big and it's pretty fancy. I said, well, I want it to say here and there. I want them to know we're trying to reach a world for God. He said, preacher, I'll give it to you at my cost. And just for the display and the lights, it's $750. I went, God's given me about 400 of those dollars. You can come with us to Burma. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. In January the 9th through the 20th, we're going to Burma. We're going to have that big meeting. First ever tent revival. We're going to have 3 services a day. Look, we got water already prepared for you, but it's going to be hot. What's the average temperature? It's winter time. What's the average temperature? 95. Winter. You get off the plane, the heat hits you. Like, glory to God, the hottest day in Ohio can't compare to that place. It's 130 in the summer. I don't go in the summer. You say, why? Because fat boy ain't going in the summertime. If he don't have to. But they're already talking about, you got to come. And I went, no. But the trip, we're trying to raise money for a trip. I'd like to take my wife over there, but it's just, right now, it's just too expensive. Right now, it costs about $1,200, between $1,000 and $1,200 for just a plane ticket to get there. Then you got to have places to stay. This trip is going to cost us about $2,000, $2,200 is what it's going to cost. What else can I do, preacher? I've got 20 things written down. But I could use your prayers. Yeah, I could use your help. But I could use your prayers. We've got a lost and dying world that we're supposed to care about. Three a second. 180 a minute. 10,800 an hour. Over 259,000 a day. Many of them from that region of the world. Never. Not even once. Not even in a cuss word. Hearing. Question is this: will you, like Jesus, work the works of Him that sent us while it's day?